This is the day he's made by Direction, a local artist. I love how local songs are just so punching their weight. So I said in an earlier on that I've got a guest today, and the guest is Mish the Dead. And Mish the Dead and I will be having a conversation about the take note. Here's the topic. Listen carefully. Are you listening? So here's the topic. Raising children perfectly. And there's a difference between raising perfect children and raising children perfectly. But I'll allow Mish the Dead to then break that down for us. Just in case you're wondering, you are listening to Impact 103, and the program is God in the Picture with Zibuse Elgunene. Let us welcome Mish the Dead. Daddy, how are you?
I am well, thanks. Thanks for welcoming me, and very happy to be here.
Yeah.
And yeah, greetings to the listeners. Looking forward to the conversation.
Awesome. Maybe let's not even waste time. What does it mean to raise children perfectly as opposed to raising perfect children? And is it possible to raise perfect children?
Well, yes, on face value, one might think that actually they can raise perfect children. Or some parents might even look at their children and think they're perfect. But the bottom line is, it's you're not raising children to be children. You're raising children to be future adults, decision makers.
Mm.
You're raising children to be pastors, politicians. But they have to create the next generation as well. So when you raise them perfectly is when you raise them with the values that are entrenched in their spirituality, when you raise them in a home that actually allows them to be themselves, allows them to grow, allows them to transform into that which they were born for.
Mm.
Not that which that you gave birth to them for. There's always a difference.
So there's a difference between raising them to what they were born for, not for what you wanted them
for. You wanted to have children.
Suppose that you wanted them in the first place.
Oh, yeah, now that is going down another rabbit hole.
Yes.
That most of us wouldn't want to go, because it's some of us are raising children that we had through a plan.
Mm.
But more of a dream rather than a plan, because a plan has got a lot of aspects in it. A plan has got the thinking of why, it's got a thinking of how, it's got a thinking of the end product. Whereas a dream, it's just about, you have a snapshot of seeing yourself with children that are well-behaved in a mall, seeing yourself with children that are well-behaved going to Gogo and spending some time there, seeing yourself being called a man amongst your peers or being called a mother.
Mm.
And all of those, you know, are just the dreams that you have. But if you have a plan, the plan will encompass all the aspects. And, you know, through the years, as Dad's in the Picture, we've looked at four aspects: the spirituality, the emotions, the finances, and the physical. You have to look beyond just the snapshot for you to raise children perfectly.
Mm. And what does that look like, looking beyond the snapshot to raise children perfectly?
There'll be good days, there'll be bad days.
Mm.
The children will misbehave one day, and then they'll be angelic the next day. And all of this, you know, it's in a day's work. You cannot pick and choose how they must behave on a daily basis, because you yourself came through these different forming phases, if I may call it that. So this reminds me of, you know, you find that you've got a family whereby there's one child who is at an early age who goes rogue. At an early age, never listens. But 50 years down the line, this is the very child who's taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
And then you get to realize that that phase, he or she was just coming to form. He or she was just transforming. Unfortunately, because you didn't plan for that happening, you might just disregard that child. There's a child who gets abandoned, who lives in the streets for 20 years and 30 years, and then eventually this child, you know, he's the most influential child in the community, in the country, in the world.
Mm.
And then you look at it and you think, but why? only to find that actually society, the family, community at large, the indoctrination actually said this child is out of line and thus will amount to nothing.
And I suppose a plan would have helped the parents nurture that child towards where they need to go, as per Proverbs 22.
Absolutely. The parents would have, I mean, I was listening earlier to the conversation about space. The parents would have made the space to be able to can see through the child's misbehavior or see through the child's adventures. Because sometimes what we see as misbehavior is adventure. And they are born with adventure within them. They're not misbehaving as such. They might not know the boundaries. They might not understand the boundaries. Similarly, you yourself might not even know the boundaries. You've just accepted them because you were nurtured into them.
Yo! Boundaries. But now we face a challenge where even if I as a parent want to set boundaries or teach my children boundaries, but I don't have boundaries, how do I then get to teach that which I do not know and I do not have?
And to your earlier comment, you need to define boundaries. Once you define the boundaries, in that definition, therein lies the actual breakdown. Therein lies the truth about what boundaries are. You know, if you live in a house where there's four people, I mean, my children, they know everybody in the house has got a role.
Okay.
You're either a student, a child, or you are an adult, an employed person that brings in the needed support. If the support is physically, be it support, it's financial, but you play a certain role. If you leave school and you're a school leaver and you say, I'm taking a break, and you do not fit in any of those other categories, we have a problem. Because the boundaries are saying you live in this house, you contribute to it, or you are a child. So if you are in between, we need to help you get a position. You need to help you choose a side. We need to be in a position to can say, okay, fine, we'll give you the leniency of saying, no, you're not going to school, but you're going to have to weigh in into the parenting part.
Yes.
Or get a peace job, get a, you know, a 3 hour a day voluntary, you know, job that you do at the church, at the local supermarket, at the hospice, whatever the case is. But those are boundaries. You cannot just go on and go on. If I say 8 o'clock, you got to be in the house, it means because I am not prepared to go look for you after 8 o'clock. I am not prepared to take accountability for your actions after 8 o'clock. It's not about me being funny. And sometimes we do not explain the boundaries because we ourselves don't know why we have those boundaries. Yeah. I grew up with my granddad locking the gates at 6, so I think that is a boundary that is, yeah, the right, oh yes, let's go. Forgetting that at 6, we didn't even have street lights. I was in a village. It was dark.
Yes.
So now the streets are on. The supermarkets and shopping centers are open. So the movies are starting at 8. If I stick to that 6 o'clock rule, I need to understand it so that I can translate it, so that it can be
context,
followed.
Yeah.
And I believe spirituality is like that. Don't, you can take me to church for 12 years, 13 years, 14 years. I'm following you. Beyond that, I got to understand why. If I don't understand why, then we're going to have a conflict.
Let's park it there for now. Wow. If you do want to share your comments and some insights as well, or you do want to ask questions, our WhatsApp line is open 071-364-0376. You are tuned into Impact 103 with Zibuse El Kunene, and our program is called God in the Picture. So today we're bringing God in the picture into raising children perfectly. And my guest is Mish the Dad, who is also the founder of Releme and also a non-profit organization called Dads in the Picture. Now, I implore you, if you do have to go out, just make sure that you've got the Impact 103 app downloaded. Just like Upetsile, who's listening to us all the way from the Valley of Heaven, which is Eswatini. So she's listening to us from across the border. And wherever you are, I'm sure there are people who are also listening to us from across borders. And if you are, drop us a WhatsApp line on +27 71 364 0376. Daddy, we were talking about boundaries, and that as a parent, it becomes difficult for you to set a boundary when you yourself don't know anything about boundaries. How can we then, because then there's a challenge that we have to, because we have not been taught boundaries, doesn't mean that we cannot teach our children boundaries. So that then means that I have to be learning boundaries while teaching boundaries at the same time. Is that even possible? And how can that contribute to the overall idea of raising children perfectly? And what is the standard for which we can say my children have been raised perfectly?
Have you given them all that you can? But more importantly, have you given them all you can with the influence that is correct? And the influence that is correct, we're talking your spirituality. Are you grounded yourself for you to can actually validate that which you are giving as the correct version and the most possible, you know, impactful version? I grew up in a community of women. I grew up in a community where men were seen as just certain, you know, structures that most importantly are to be listened to and feared. So the boundary that was created there is not necessarily the kind of boundary you want to raise your child with. You don't want to raise your child fearing you. You don't want to raise your child fearing the community. You want to raise the child embracing you and being willing to learn from you. Because if you know, you cannot learn when you are being forced to learn. You learn because you know, it's part of your daily life, daily routine. And the most impactful learnings, definitely learnings that are done not in a class, not sitting and, you know, being dictated to, but by observations. So parents, we teach children more importantly by observations. Yes, we give them instructions to follow, but then those instructions are then supplemented by the observations. When they see us do certain things in a certain way, and they see us being the people that actually can be trustworthy. You cannot teach somebody something when they don't trust you, because then it means they are probably learning out of fear. And if your children are fearful of you, the perfection that they will actually display is more a perfection that is just there in front of you. You'll be surprised tomorrow when they say your child is in jail, has been arrested, and you're thinking, my child arrested? Kanjani. But then he wears this suit when he comes in front of you because he fears you. And then when he's far away from you, then he becomes himself. But the problem is when they become themselves far away from you, you do not have an influence in that area. They get influenced. Right now, we've got a drug issue. We've got a, you know, some would want to call it GBV. I call it violence all around. That issue is being learned. It might not be learned in your presence simply because you are this fierce man in the house. So they will learn it in the street.
So the precursor to teaching a child is trust.
Trust is everything. You know, today I punish my child and within an hour, she's back on my lap, even though I punished her an hour ago.
Yeah.
But she trusts me. She understands that much as daddy is not happy with me doing that, there might be something that I'm doing in that that she's not happy with. And it's not about me. Because trust says, when we have a conversation, it's not about me that you are actually angry with, is my actions. And trust goes a long way, because trust also speaks about who you are as a parent. Why do I trust a parent that does not abide by their own guidelines?
Integrity,
exactly. That's the word. If you have integrity, then you can end that trust, and once you've ended that trust, then you can influence. The fact that I'm sitting here and talking to you, and we have in debts in the picture a good number, you know, upwards of 1,000 followers that listen to us, that come to our events. It's got a lot to do with the integrity of those that actually have started this journey that's in the picture. It's got a lot to do with the trust as well, to say we would get the support if not the help,
mm.
if not the camaraderie from this particular organization. Otherwise, if they didn't, then they would come on board because we did the marketing, right?
Yes.
But then they will fall off.
True.
So for them to stay, it has to be a bit of trust. It has to be a bit of integrity. It has to be they see themselves aspiring to something that we have. It has to be they see themselves being in the company of brothers that will take them somewhere in a positive direction.
Mm. So the words that I hear is integrity, is trust. And then once you've got those in check, then we can then move on to the teaching. You know, you threw some pearls of wisdom there that also take me to the Bible where Job says, though he slay me, yet shall I trust him. So his relationship with God is so infused with so much trust that he knows that if the slaying comes from him, I'll still trust him.
And very importantly, what you're saying, God loved you first before he could actually lay any punishment on you. As a parent, you got to make sure your child feels the love.
Mm.
He must feel the trust. They must trust you enough before you can actually start saying, I'm going to punish them.
What I want us to talk about when we come back is love as a feeling and love as an action.
If you curse me.
You are tuned into Impact 103 with Zibuse El Kunene on God in the Picture. And today I have a guest, and my guest is Mish the Dad. Earlier we were talking about, so basically the topic is raising children perfectly. And before we took the songs, we touched on key things that you cannot teach a child from a point of fear, but you need first to establish trust and then be a person of integrity. And only then can you be able to teach. And we also touch on the issue of boundaries. And one of the things that we touched on when we talk about boundaries is that you can't just teach boundaries when you yourself do not know what a boundary is. So you need to be open to learning yourself. And while learning, teach. And that's a challenge, right? So, Daddy, let's then come back to teaching, and teaching from a point of integrity and trust. How does all of that then contribute to our overall topic of raising children perfectly? And how do we know that I'm either on the right track or I have raised children perfectly? At what stage do we say, I've raised my children perfectly? My gunners as prachtig.
Yes, perfectly as far as my abilities,
mm.
perfectly as far as my expected outcome,
mm.
perfectly as far as using every resource that I have. And I think the saying that comes to mind is about when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Meaning, for you to be impactful in your children's life, in whatever you're teaching them, you need to ensure that they are ready to receive that message. Otherwise, you're not teaching, you're just reciting certain things. For them to be ready to receive, they need to see you as that person with integrity, that person they can trust to learn something from, and that person who is relevant. Earlier we spoke about, you know, the curfew time being 6 o'clock versus 8 o'clock, because it's a different generation, it's a different time.
Mm.
You're not living in the farm, you're living in the city, so it is a lot of influence, you know. You've got the TV on up until 10, but you're expecting the children to call it quits to go to bed at 6 or at 7 or at 8. There's always a miscommunication of expectations because it's not met with the actual behavior.
Mm.
So you need to behave in a way that actually supports the teachings. So perfectly, at the end of the day, cannot be measured across different people, different families. It can only be perfectly within the confines of your family, within the confines of your ability and your resources. The fact that you want to ignore what your parents taught you might be one of your pitfalls. The fact that you want to ignore what the culture that you are trying to raise them in says might be what creates the misalignment.
So you're actually saying whether good or bad, relatively bad background, right? Mm-hmm. I still need to consider all of those things, whether I liked them or I didn't, whether society is toxic or enabling towards a positive culture. I must not ignore all of those things when I then aim to raise my children perfectly. But I must take all of those things, filter them, and then choose what I teach my children. Or do I bring all of those unfiltered to my children?
By default, you're actually bringing everything. You're bringing all of you to your parenting. The pain, the fun, the disappointments. You're bringing all of them because they make you.
Mm.
So as a parent, for starters, if we talk teenage pregnancy, for instance, consequentially, you become a parent, but you're not ready. And when I say you're not ready, you haven't dealt with the pain points of your own upbringing. You haven't come to your own fullness. You haven't gotten to a point where you yourself are saying, this is wrong, this is right, and now you're a parent. So consequentially, you bring all those raw as they are into this parenting. You might not actively want to transmit them, but passively they come through.
Okay.
The anger and the pain always hangs around. I always say, you know, the pain does not knock at the door and say, I want to come in. No, it leans against the door. When the door opens, it falls in. It doesn't ask for permission.
Mm.
It doesn't knock, it leans. So when you have pain and you bring that and you are bringing a child up, they might actually act exactly how you acted when you were their age. And then the wrath will come out.
Yeah.
Much as you'll come around because you umuntu esonto, you've been taught differently, you know, you are at a certain position in church or at a certain position in the community and you come to your senses. But that snapping already has communicated a lot to the child.
Mm.
So you're not bringing your full self. So the perfection that you bring is not about you going to find the best self-help books and saying this is what's going to help me. It's not about you going to, you know, to being very spiritual at the highest level that you've seen anybody be in. It's about the combination of everything there is. If you believe that God made everything, then even that pain, you need to understand, you need to take that pain as a lesson, unpack it. But if you want to unpack it while you are a parent already, it becomes a bit of a problem because you'll only unpack it to a certain level and think that it's gone, only to find that the roots are still there. And it manifests itself in other ways, in you snapping at the child. The fact that the child came home at 8:30 instead of 8:00, you wouldn't be able to can handle it as a matured parent that you're supposed to be, that the child trusts. You might just want to start throwing missiles at them, telling them they were with boyfriend, telling them they were out, you know, with their useless friends, not even giving them the chance to actually say to you, actually, I missed the bus and had to wait for the second bus.
Yeah. So maturity plays a very big role in us as parents, teaching our children.
And I've seen 70-year-olds who are not matured, simply because maturity cannot just mean age. Maturity means the experiences and how you actually deal with those experiences, how you take the good out of it and put it in your toolbox to use going forward. And not just how you say, you know, dictate things. So the maturity has a lot to do with self-healing. It has a lot to do with ensuring that the resources around you, Ugogo's teachings, the pastor's teachings, you know, the radio, now you're listening to Ubabzibuse, you know, the teachings that comes out, you take all of them into your toolbox. When you're ready to be a parent, you've got a toolbox. You do not have just that one thought of pain that you were, you know, exposed to when you were young in your own family, in your own community, and in your own surroundings. You are now, you know, stepping up. And for you to step up, it's not easy. For some of us, we step up because we are forced to step up because we are parents all of a sudden. We think we're stepping up. We're actually just reacting to what is there.
Wow. So what I'd like us to do when we come back is think about somebody who's now listening and they are saying, you know what? I've got all these experiences, but I don't know how to package them. I have all these experiences. You're talking about a toolbox, but I don't know which tool to use when. So when we come back, I'd like us to just talk about the toolbox when we further unpack raising children perfectly.
Come alive to the beat of life with Impact 103.
Welcome to God in the Picture with Zibusa Elkunene on Impact 103. Thank you for tuning and thank you for staying if you've been with us throughout the journey. We've received some encouraging WhatsApps and questions as well. So Spusiso is asking, how about us who are already parents but have not dealt with our past? We still do see what was wrong about us when we were young. How do we rectify it while parenting? And then Ujabu shares Proverbs 22 verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. The scripture is so much in line with what Didimish is sharing. God allows us to determine the way they should go. The perfection is determined by our actions. As I'm listening, I'm realizing that the perfection of raising our children lies in the combination of different elements, such what God has planned for our children, how we want our children to grow, and what their aspirations are, and so on. We need God's wisdom, humility, and grace to raise our children perfectly. I love the feedback, but what I'd like us to do now is think about what Spusiso has asked. Let's think about the parent who's there, who's saying, you know what, I really want to aim to raise my children perfectly. I've got all these experiences. Help me craft a toolbox. How do we help that parent? How do we help that mother? How do we help that father have that toolbox that they can use?
Sometimes experiences worth, you know, revisiting, worth ensuring that they are aligned to, you know, the way we want to go. Some experiences are definitely not worth it. They are actually worth recovering from. You know, there's, we loosely talk about how hurt people hurt people, but sometimes we do not realize and understand the meaning of hurt. Some of us were hurt because we were rejected by our own fathers. That hurt is bigger than any other hurt. It's bigger than the hurt of a young girl who decided to not give you a second, or the young girl that you dated for a week and decided to go to date your friend. It's a hurt that stretches over your whole lifetime. And until you can face it, and facing it, sometimes it might mean actually confronting that very individual father. Sometimes it might mean actually, if the father is not there, confronting the family. Sometimes it might mean you actually sitting down with yourself, putting it, you know, it's a, there's a process called displacement. You take something from one place, you put it somewhere. Get yourself a journal, write down your pain, because sometimes you think you know what your pain is. But the day you sit down and you write it down, write it down in the second person as though you're talking to, you know, to your father who hurt you, or talking to the experience that hurt you, and put it out there. And obviously, it's not just the writing, but it's a writing with intention. The writing with intention to hand it over to the power that is beyond you, the power that brought you here. That writing at the end of the day helps you to peel it off. I always say pain comes in a form of an onion. There are layers of pain. There are layers, and until you are prepared to peel them off, you will continue to bleed. So once the peeling starts, then you'll feel the greatness, and you'll feel, and you'll start having your power.
I love what you said about the onion, and something just the Holy Spirit just reminded me of something. You know, when you take an onion and you peel it, it starts out big. So as you peel the layers, you eventually get to the core.
To the core.
And when you get to the core, now all that's left are all these pieces. And if you take all these pieces and you chop them up, you can actually use the onion itself. So you take the onion, you use it into cooking. So you tend to cook and bring something else. So when we take the pain and we peel the layers of our pain, once we are done with focusing on that particular aspect and what can I say, that event that was painful, and we then say, how did this contribute into the whole being of who I am?
100%. And look at that, exactly what you're saying. If you look at the center of the onion, if we could call it the heart of the onion, it looks nothing like the whole onion. It looks nothing like the whole onion. So look at it in that sense, that once you start peeling, you actually get to understand what your pain point is.
Mm.
Sometimes we misdiagnose the pain.
Yes.
Because everywhere we go, on social media, on advertisements, we are dealing with symptoms, not the pain.
Mm.
When you take an aspirin for a headache, you're not dealing with the cause of the pain. You're dealing with the symptoms, that pain. And then it goes away. And then you're surprised that you have to take an aspirin every day and the pain doesn't go away. Mm. So if you know that you're a parent and you've got pain and you're doing your best to parent, take time for yourself. And you don't need anybody's permission. You don't need to ask anybody for direction. Find exactly that which is paining for you, or that we feel you were wrong. You feel you were wronged by your uncle 20 years ago. Why are you carrying that? Because he's not carrying that. He might have even forgotten about it.
Mm.
So go and confront them and say, this is where I am, but I've got this problem. Your toolbox is only as good as the condition that you are in. And if the condition that you are in is that you are in pieces because of all this pain, then you won't be effective. And the toolbox is not just about what you see or what you know is in there. It's the core of you. It's everything that you experienced that was good and that was bad. And if you had more bad things happen to you, you can rise above that. All you need to do is go in there, look at the toolbox and say, can I use tool A? If this tool, it's the one that came through you being taught discipline by force, by pain, then you need to change it. Take the tool and say, how do I teach discipline without force? Right now, we've got information everywhere, online. We've got support groups. I mean, I talk to dads all the time. We do our pre-spring and pre-autumn holidays, campouts, where we share this information. And then you say, okay, fine. I've been doing this with my son, and I don't think I'm getting to him. But remember the scripture that was mentioned.
Yes.
Probably. Ultimately, when the going gets tough, that lesson that you taught your child that you think he didn't get, he will remember it.
Ah, laying the foundation and training up the child in the way that they should go, so that when they're older, they will not depart from it.
100%.
Wow. So, Daddy, as always, time is never a friend. It just goes so fast when we have so much to unpack. So what I want to ask now is, anybody who's listening to you and wants to engage further, how can they get hold of you?
Well, for them to engage further, they first need to be in a position to actually be engaging. Sometimes we think engaging is just about sending Daddy Mish a WhatsApp.
Mm.
And he says, hi, and then he say hi. But are you prepared to go down that road, the road with us? So that's in the picture. It's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's on X. So you can just send us a message there, DM us, and it will come through directly to our inbox and we'll respond. Other than that, Daddy Zibuse will probably be able to, in a position to, can share directly with the individuals that want my direct contacts. And then we have WhatsApp groups that are regional that we can add you to it and start conversations. But you must be prepared to carry your weight. You must be prepared to go on the trip. It's not about you being dragged anyway. It's about you saying, I am here. I want to be a better parent. And I'm going to work on my integrity so that I'm trusted by my children.
Awesome. I think we need a part two of this conversation, where we now actually go forward in terms of unpacking what actually does it mean to raise children perfectly. Because now I believe we've just only touched the surface, because we've just talked about pain and the willingness to just face that pain.
It is a journey.
Mm. So, family, make sure that when you are ready to face your pain, when you're ready to deal with your challenges, that you then make that initiative of contacting the people that will be there for you. But until then, I'm going to be signing off, and I'm going to have the privilege of engaging with Uterimish further. But if you have something to say, and if you're still going through something, don't think that it's the end of the journey.
I know you're tired.